How's everyone doing? Good? Who here's afraid of the dark? That's right. Raise them high. Who's here is afraid of the dark? Lift it up. It's tough. Can you imagine how hard it would be in here if it were dark? When we come to celebrate or when you need to find something important? Or you never know what's out there in the dark? Yeah, scary. Today we're going to find out the importance of light and seeing the light. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for these little ones. I thank you for everyone who hears my voice today. I pray, Lord, that you would show us your marvelous light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. Before we start today, our neighbors have sent us a prayer request for a little girl named Nyla, who's six, and I believe she might be watching today, and she recently received some bad news about leukemia, and we know the battles faced in those things here in this service. So we want to let her know how much she is loved and cared for and prayed for. And the prayer requests should be seeing it or getting it shortly. And we're going to keep you in prayer. And I'm going to send it to all my pastor friends around town. And we're going to have churches all over praying for you. But I'm going to pray for you right now. And we will keep praying for you. Lord, we lift up Nyla to you. We lift up her family. Lord, you are a mighty God. You are a good God. You are a loving God. In this world, this fallen world, we face difficult things, things that we cannot bear, things that we cannot do on our own or heal on our own. But you are a mighty God who can do them, and you are a mighty God who can heal. So, Lord, we pray for her, for her family, that they would know you, Lord Jesus, that they would know the joy of salvation, that they would know the joy of a life lived and delighting in you. Lord, we pray for healing of her little body. Lord, we lift her up to your hands, and we pray that you would cure her and that you would draw their hearts near to you, that they would feel your comfort nonstop. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're watching, we can't wait to meet you. We hope we get to see you sometime and sometime soon. For the rest of you, please open your Bibles to Psalm 36. I beat you to it. You had your chance. I love music. I've always listened to all types of music, all genres of music. When I was first saved in Afghanistan, I didn't have very much good music on my phone. Quality, I would say. Certainly didn't have any Christian music on my phone. But I wanted to listen to things that fed my soul, but I didn't have any available. All I had was secular songs. I didn't have the luxury of just downloading things like we have here today. So I had to go with what was already available to me. And praise the Lord, one of the songs that I had available to me was Hank Williams' I Saw the Light. It's a great song. Every verse, every chorus tells the same story. He walked in darkness, thinking his way was the right way. The way he was going about it was the right way. Then Jesus came and shined the light, and he saw the light. Shined the light into darkness, he saw the light. And now he walks in the joy of the light of Jesus Christ. That's all Christian's story. Go listen to it today. But that's also Psalm 36. That's Psalm 36, what we see here. Sinners walking without fear of the Lord. And then God's glory shining brightly, saving us. And then in that light, relying on God to keep us from going back into darkness. That is the Christian walk. That's the general description of how we live. So as we wrap up, today being the last of our summer sermon series on Psalms, say that slow, it's going to be a dual focus for us today. It is going to be first as an unbeliever walking in darkness and needing to come to see the light of God, to see the light of Jesus. Needing then to walk in the light of Jesus. But at the same time, we as children of God who have seen the light, and we know this very well, you don't come to saving faith and then everything is all peachy and you are sinless the rest of your life. It would be nice if it worked that way. But you know that as children of God, we can get off that path of light. Although our souls are eternally secured and rescued, we can get off the path of light and delighting in God and finding our joy in God. And we can have seasons of darkness. And we need to be rescued. And we need to be reminded to live in the light and the joy that is found in Jesus Christ. So we're going to try to carry both of those things at the same time as we go through Psalm 36 together. So wherever you are with the Lord, I hope this blesses you the way that it blessed me. So Psalm 36 verses 1 through 4 says, "To the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil." So the absence of the fear of God, either through never having the fear of God, never knowing what that meant, or forgetting it, is the moral state, it's the breeding grounds, if you will, for all sin to hatch and exist and to thrive. And what I mean by that is when God is not considered, when I'm making my decisions, when I'm making my actions, when I'm doing what I want to do, listening to what I want to listen to, hanging out with who I want to hang out with, watching what I want to watch, saying what I want to say, and I never even consider that there's a God and he's holy and what is important to him and how I should live. Well, that's not even considered, let alone revered and delighting in him. That's on a whole other level. But when I'm in that state, it's a state of darkness, and sin is allowed to live and thrive freely without restraint. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart, meaning he loves it. He loves it. He enjoys the idea of this sin. It's calling. It's the calling of his life deep down. This is what he's enjoying. He flatters himself. I mean, he makes more of himself morally than he should. And we've all seen this. I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. At least I don't do this. Yeah, I do this and this, but at least I don't do this. And then we use that stuff and this flattering state to justify our sin, don't we? We're okay with it because we haven't gone to this level. Or we're not as bad as this person. Or maybe not as bad as what we used to be. That's who David is talking about. The words of his lips are deceit. They are trouble. His deep down goal is only to serve himself, to care for himself. And any good that he does in this world, he does not do to honor God, but to make himself look better or to feel better about himself. For believers, we can get in this state, the state of functional atheism. It means confessing a belief in God, but living without him. We say we're a Christian. We understand the gospel. We understand these things. We may even show up to church. But our life isn't lived as someone who has seen the light and has been changed by the light. So it's a state of functional atheism. We live like everyone else in the world. We never consult God. We never look to him. We never turn to him. We're never praying over our decisions or the things that are happening in our lives. We never pray for direction. We never pray for help unless things get really out of hand. Then we realize we need his help. For believers in this state, they have ceased to act wisely. They have ceased to act good or do good. They've set themselves on a way that isn't good. They do not reject evil. They have turned off the light. They have turned it down. Dim the light. God has gone from an overwhelming sun type light that's bright on your eyes and it warms you up to a bright artificial kind of spotlight to then a bright house light to then a warm house light to then a dimmed house light to then a little night light to then off altogether. It's a slow fade. We gradually turn down the light. We gradually tune out the things that God is saying to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. We block those things out over and over, and we become in this state. We turn ourselves into functional atheists. The unbeliever has never seen the light. They have no clue of it. They're just living in darkness. This is what Paul describes in Romans chapter 3. 1 second. When he says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They need change. They need to see the light. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't need a clean yourself up, get better, then show up to church. They need to see the light. They need to see that that is them. This is who I am. I have sinned against God. I do not fear God. I do not even consider God. I do deserve the punishment that the Bible says I deserve. That's a hard thing to hear. And it's a hard thing to take hold of, but it's a necessary thing for every one of us, because when we do, then we can cry out for salvation to Jesus Christ, who took that punishment. That is the gospel. That is what faith is. Seeing the light, recognizing that I have sinned against God, that I deserve the punishment, seeing that he has made a way for me to be forgiven in Jesus Christ and restored and then lived in the light. It's the rescue for both unbelievers and backsliding Christians alike. Maybe today the switch gets turned on for you if you're in one of those conditions. Again, excuse me. This isn't a message of trying to do better. Not trying to fix yourself up or clean yourself up. You're coming to the warmth of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the light. So some questions to ask ourselves on this point. For believers, where have I been living as if God isn't present in my life? Where have I've been making decisions without prayer, without consulting him, or without going to his word? Have I noticed a slow fade in my life where joy in God has dimmed? And what may have caused it? Am I tolerating sin that I once rejected? If you... For an unbeliever, the questions we want to ask is, what if the darkness I think is normal is actually keeping me from life? What I consider normal is actually darkness. What we need, again, is not a do better message, and that's not where we find life, but a message of glorious light in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is what David gives. Verses 5 to 9. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Again, notice what we read there. You have this person in the first four verses that David is describing with no fear of God. Transgression speaks deep to their heart. And David then doesn't follow that with, come and clean yourself up and stop doing that. He follows that with, this is how great God is. In his light do we see light. He doesn't tell us to light a fire ourselves for light. He points us to the glory of God and the delight that can be found in him. God's glory is the light. It's the beauty of his character on display. We see it in his word, and we see it in his world, and we see it in his works, and we recognize it. It's beautiful. It's a light has to come on for us to see this. That's what David points us to here. He points us to his steadfast love, which is immeasurable, meaning it's greater than anything you have already felt, and you will never reach the end of it, and it will never go away. That's God's steadfast love. We find it. We take refuge in it. We find peace in it. We find rest in it. And that's where we turn when our world falls apart. Shadow of his wings. His faithfulness, same. Even though you wander away from him back into the darkness, he will never wander away from you. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. His righteousness. Firm like a mountain, unwavering, never doing wrong. Judgments like the deep, they're beyond what we can grasp. Why he does what he does is beyond us. Why we get sick when others don't get sick. Why we go through the hardships that others don't go through. Why things happen in our relationships that don't seem to happen in others. Or on the flip side, why we are seem to be blessed in ways that others don't get. It's beyond us. It's beyond us, and it's in the hands of a wise God whose ways are too deep for our understanding. And this is where faith comes, and this is where trust in him comes in. We find our delights in him. All that he shows us, all that he gives us, is meant to point us back to his glory. Everything that he gives us, it's transactional, if you will. He gives it to us, and it's meant for us to see how amazing he is. Every good food that we taste, every laugh that we get, every good entertainment that we get, when we get the sunshine, when we get the rain, when we feel the love of God, we feel it through his people. All of these things are to point us back to how great God is. When we read his word and it brings comfort for something that we're going through. When we read his word and it strengthens our faith. When we read his word and we find forgiveness for something that we've done. All of these things are God giving us these things so that in turn we would delight in him through them. All of it. We live to delight in God. That's how we glorify him the most, by delighting in him the most. We find our delights in him, meant for us to enjoy, but to enjoy to his praise, not merely for our own personal satisfaction. He's the fountain of life. He's living water. Ending quench for our thirsts that fuels our delights. In his light, we see light. I love that. In your light, we see light. We don't know light until we see his light. And I'm talking spiritual here. We think we know things. We think we have things figured out. We don't until we see it in his light. It's beautiful. We think that our way is the right way, and the way that we're walking in is the right way. And that's why Satan loves darkness. When God isn't in the picture for us, when we're walking down that dark path, either as an unbeliever who's never seen the light or someone who's strayed from the path of light and we're walking down this direction, Satan loves it because God isn't in the picture for us in our hearts, in our minds. We're blinded. When we're blinded to God's glory and his light and who God is, oh, Satan loves it and he thrives. Paul says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's what he wants to do. He wants to keep us in darkness. He wants to keep us alone in darkness, not wanting to bring things to the light. We think, oh, I'll be ashamed, and I'll be embarrassed, and everybody will hate me, and it'll be so bad if these things come to the light. When it's the opposite. When it's the opposite. We find peace. We find love. We find forgiveness in the light. The solution, then, is to come to the light. Pray that God opens eyes to see the light of Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We think when we are spiritually struggling that we need to do better, but the biblical solution is to see God more clearly. Isn't that something? We mess up by going our own way and wandering away from God. And human nature would tell us, do better. Don't do that. Do this to get back in God's good graces. But the Bible says, open your eyes and look, taste and see how good God is. Look, come to his light. Open your eyes. So for believers, some questions here. What would it look like this week to drink from the river of God's delights? To drink from the river of God's delights. So maybe that is putting something away that you know God doesn't approve of, so that you can taste, you can see, you can enjoy God more. Maybe that is looking a little more intently at the things that God has given, so that the Holy Spirit can connect the dots in your heart and you can see, wow, that is great. I love that. But that's God giving that to me. That's me enjoying that because God has done that. And we're seeing that a little more clearly. Am I trying to create my own light, relying on my performance and my feelings and instead of Jesus Christ? What truth about God's character do I need to meditate on until it warms my heart again? Don't settle for glimmers of God, little nightlights of God, and feel that that's seeing the light. You want to meditate. You want to feast on his word. Remember, we've talked about this illustration before, like a bonfire, campfire on a cold, not right now when it's hot and it makes it worse. Cold October when we have our Reformation Day chili cook-off. And you have that bonfire and you come over to it and you got to stay there to warm up. You don't just walk past it briefly and say, I've come to the fire, the light, and that's going to warm me up. No, you have to sit there. The same is true for God's word. You read one verse in the morning, and that's your, because the Bible app gives you your verse of the day, and you're like, I'm good to go. And then there's no consideration for God the rest of the day. Meditate on his word. Think on it. Chew on it. Let it work in you. Be warmed by it. Think of all the implications. For an unbeliever, if God's light reveals reality, am I willing to have my life exposed so that he can heal me? Am I willing to take all the things that I've done? And that's where we know, right? That's where we know that God has done that work in us. When I'm willing to take all these awful things that I've done and put them out there, and others see it, God knows it, and they've come to the light so that God can bring that healing. When we're willing to do that and submit in that way, that's how we know God has done his thing. He's caused us to be born again. He's opened our eyes to see the light. Then with eyes finally open to see the light, we pray not to fall back into the darkness. And that's the end of this psalm, verses 10 to 12. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. The key point to see here is that David wants to continue in the steadfast love of God's light. He doesn't want to go back to the darkness. He knows how easy it is for him to go back to these things, so he's praying to God to keep him in the light, not relying on himself and the measures that he sets up. He's praying that God does it. He doesn't just want to experience salvation as a moment of God's overwhelming grace. He wants to continue in that grace. He wants to live in God's grace. He wants to live by God's grace, not falling back into that darkness. Don't let me slip. Don't let me fall into sin. Do you pray that? Do you pray that? Don't let temptation from Satan through others cause me to fall away. Hold on to me, Jesus. Hold on to me. That light, we would love it. We live in it. We remember it. I used to work in a place called Cheyenne Mountain. It's out in Colorado Springs. It's this base dug into the mountain. So in case there's a nuclear attack or anything like that, you have some of us would have had a place to hide out. But you go, and it's bright. The Air Force picked the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs because they did this research, and they found there's the most sunny days in the year there in Colorado Springs. So that's why they picked it. So you're there, and it's bright, and you go into this almost mile-long cave. You have to take a bus, or you can walk. And you've got to walk in there, and that light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And then you get in there, and there's all these artificial lights. And you think that's okay until you're in them for a while, forgetting about sunlight, and then you start to go crazy a little bit. Because you need the real thing. And it's so great when you're leaving there. You get on this bus, and it's still dark, and it's going, and then it turns a corner, and you can see the end of the cave. And the closer and closer you get until finally you come out of it, and you know you're adjusting your eyes, but it's so good. It's such a wonderful feeling to come back to the light, to stay in the light, to feel that, to put all that other stuff behind you. We need the true light of Jesus, not only to survive, but to thrive, to find true joy, to delight in this world. John 1:4-5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Right, kids? What do you do when you run up here, when I tell you to come up here when it's dark out? You turn every light in the church on. So true. Right? Because the light shines in the darkness. And we love that light. And the darkness can't overcome that light. So when you realize your life is lacking light, don't settle for fake light, substitutes of God that will make you feel better. Seek the light of Jesus Christ. Ask yourselves, am I daily asking God to keep me in his light and hold me fast? Or do I just come to him when things get dark? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So if you don't know Jesus, ask yourself, if Jesus is truly the light of the world, what's keeping me from following him? If this is true, what's keeping me from being a follower of Jesus so that I will never walk in darkness but will have the light of life? What would I lose stepping into Christ's light? And what might I gain? This is one of the hidden blessings from going through the books of the Bible the way that we do, not skipping any. I don't know that I would have found the riches of Psalm 36 if we hadn't as church been committed to that. It's a gospel psalm. It's a psalm of grace. It's a psalm pointing us to the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. So I pray for all of you, for me, that the light of the glory of God as revealed in this psalm will light your path for days to come. Let's pray. God, we need your light. I pray that you show each one of us, whether we believe, we pretend to believe, we don't believe, show us your glorious light. Call us out of darkness and into your glorious light. Show us the things that you would have us in our life to bring to the light and entrust to you. Help us to find our delights in you, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God bless you, church. We have a wedding to set up for, so if you'd like to help us with the chairs, please stick around. The rest of you, have a great week.